Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of Orange County.
I watched the second half of Orange County.
And this is the other half.
Boy, sure is echoey in here.
Sure is echoey around here.
Yep, sure is.
My boy.
My boy.
These echoes are what our true warriors strive for.
You know where there wouldn't be echoes?
In my room?
Yeah.
But you know where it'd be like over 100 degrees?
Your room.
My room.
Man.
Some fucking
What
hot.
Are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Guess we're just going to have to deal with the echoes for now. We could have done it outside, but these motherfucking kids.
These kids, dude.
These kids everywhere.
These kids.
You know
kids
what it is? This is what it's like to live in Orange County.
Whoa.
Whoa. See that?
Yeah.
That was a
Would you say you have a love-hate relationship with Orange County?
I would say I definitely have a love-hate relationship with Orange County.
I think everyone has a love-hate relationship where they live. Some people who say, "I love this place. It's perfect."
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're lying.
I don't know. I feel like some people might honestly like enjoy where they come from.
No, not even where they come from, but just like where they live. Well, I don't know. There's supposed to be people who say, "I love this. I love that. There's nothing wrong with it." It's like, I feel like there's always a love-hate relationship. There's nothing's perfect.
No, I'll agree with that, yeah.
There's no perfect place.
Yep, definitely not Orange County.
There's
no
perfect anything. No.
No.
Orange County,
I live in Orange County. You live near Orange County.
I live in Orange County.
Do you live in Orange County?
Yeah, it's still Orange County.
That's a big county.
Orange County's big, dude. It goes all the way down until Camp Pendleton.
Jesus Christ.
So,
I had a friend whose last name was Pendleton.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was a whiner.
Mm.
Anyway, so...
cool.
I hope he's not listening to this. What was I going to say?
Yeah. So what about Orange County? Yeah.
Okay. So we watched this movie called Orange County.
Yeah.
And it was okay. It was very funny. I laughed a lot. I think
really?
I laughed more at this movie than I've laughed at any other comedy I've seen on this show, but it was also frustratingly accurate to like people I know in Orange County.
Oh really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Like, everyone in this movie is a really, really, it's like a Mike Judge-esque interpretation of what Orange County is like. Like, you know, people know who Mike Judge is. He's the guy who made Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill.
And Silicon Valley recently.
And they're very good because they are accurate and slightly over the top exaggerated representations of real people. So you can get that nugget of truth in there, which makes them real, but then they can be a little more over the top so they can be like funny.
Caricatures.
This is a good example of that because like everyone in this movie I've met definitely like in my life. Mm. Like these are people I recognize. These are people I know names of. These are people that I've gone to school with. These are parents. These are people that I know.
Now, and is this more or less real than say Arrested Development?
I think Arrested Development's more silly. Okay. I think Arrested Development's a bit more of a...
Yeah, I think
top.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is more grounded, which makes it funny because...
But is it more accurate?
I'd say so.
Okay.
I'd definitely say so. And
they
it's,
don't name drop any names, man. They actually reference Santa Ana.
They do.
In Arrested Development.
They do. That's a good point. But I mean, I'm not talking about the place. I'm talking about the people.
Fair enough.
The people in Arrested Development, although very funny. Like, I would rather... I guess we should just get into it eventually, but... When I laughed at mostly Jack Black. I thought Jack Black was really funny in this movie and everyone else wasn't.
Say that again.
Jack Black was really, really funny in this movie.
Wow.
I like Jack Black.
I love,
do you not?
He's all right.
I honestly think Jack Black
is very hit or miss.
I think he's a very underrated actor, completely honest. Like I loved him in,
Bernie,
but also King Kong. I think not a lot of people respect him for King Kong.
A lot of people respect King Kong.
That's a good point. And honestly, they have every right not to some of the time.
Yeah.
Like that whole third act is so slow. So slow.
Yeah, I mean, we needed an editor. Peter Jackson needs an editor? What?
Peter Jackson needs to cut an hour off of a movie?
Stop the presses.
Boy, that is an unpopular opinion you hold there.
Yeah, I know.
Ethan.
It's controversial here. Burn up this SD card.
But, like, I really enjoy Jack Black in that movie. I really enjoyed him in Bernie. But, I mean, I also love him for, like, his comedy. Like, I just recently watched School of Rock again recently.
Never seen it.
You've never seen School of Rock?
Nope.
He's so good in that. Like, that's like his pinnacle of like really funny comedy. Of like him being a really good, like, cause he's really good in that movie because he's like kind of an asshole in that movie. And he learns via the kids that are surrounding him to be a better person. Mm-hmm. And he's just a really funny guy in that movie and in a lot of other films. And I feel like this is probably like his first big movie, right? Like, when was this movie made? I'm not even going to ask that. I have IMDb.
Judging by the clothes and the way the color is, 2001, 2002.
2002. And definitely judging by the fucking music in this movie. Holy shit.
Like, boy, pop songs.
I forgot, not just pop songs, I forgot like how many times, like back in like late 90s, early 2000s, when a scene happened, the lyrics in the song had to directly express the situation. Like,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, this happened a lot in this movie. Like, eventually,
that happened a lot in American Pie.
And a lot of like those dumb sex comedies
things. Yeah,
like, and that happened a lot in this movie too. Like, in one point, like Colin Hanks, he wants to go to Harvard. That's the whole point of the first part of the movie. And I guess the rest of the film, he wants to go to Harvard.
Yeah,
and he doesn't get an acceptance letter from them. And then
Stanford.
I knew I got it wrong. Stanford. He wants to go to.
I get them all mixed up too.
He has to go. He wants to go to Stanford.
Actually, one of my friends I was talking to, he was talking about getting his master's degree, and I'm like, "Where are you going?" And he's like, "Stanford." I'm like, "That sounds cool. I'm not exactly sure where that is."
Yeah, I don't know where it is either. I just know it's far away from the OC.
North California. It's like Northern California.
Oh, is it in still California?
Yeah, it's still in California, I think.
Okay. I thought it was okay. No. Yeah, it is Stanford.
Yeah,
okay.
It's in like San Francisco area. I don't know. That area just blurs together. It's like North California.
Surely isn't Orange County.
Nope, surely isn't. This is California at the top. Is that, you know, tech center area where it's like San Francisco and, you know, Silicon Valley and San Jose and all those places. And then you get the middle area that no one goes to unless you're farming.
Yep.
And you go down, then there's LA, and then there's Orange County, and then there is San Diego. And that is your geography lesson for the day of California.
Thank you. As a resident of California, I related to
that.
It's
pretty accurate, right?
It's pretty accurate.
Pretty good.
Very, you definitely didn't skip anything.
Nope.
Nothing of note.
There was nothing of note. Nothing.
Nothing.
That middle area, just
bullshit.
It might as well just be Mad Max up in there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yep.
But where was I? I was talking about something.
I don't know.
About this
movie.
Dude,
I wasn't listening to you.
Yeah, you're right.
I was just trying to figure out a good segue so I can be funny. Funny, I mean, informative.
You were just trying to find a segue so you could describe the geography of California.
Isn't that hilarious, though?
It was pretty funny.
Boy, geography is so funny.
Everyone's
also crazy? England.
Yeah?
Is part of the UK.
Yes.
And that is the United Kingdom, where there's a bunch of other places there too.
Where are you going with this?
I don't know. Also, Ireland is part of that, but not Northern Ireland, I don't think. Maybe. I don't know what's going on. Boy, I sure am showing my American ignorance of out-of-state
geography. You know that New York has an Orange County?
Yeah.
Do you know where else has Orange Counties? California. So, in this Florida. Movie, Florida has an Orange County.
Yeah, Florida's Orange
That's
County.
The Orange State, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
And Orange County is the Orange County.
Orange County has orange groves in it.
Yeah.
That's why it's Orange County.
Yeah, that's originally why.
Yeah, it is.
And there still are orange groves here.
Are there?
Yeah, have you never seen them?
No, of course I've seen them.
Okay.
I'm just acting as if I've never been to California.
You know,
before.
In Bakersfield.
Yes, which is where I'm from.
There are bakers there.
Who was I with? I was with someone and they're like, why is it called Bakersfield? Is it because there's a lot of bakers there?
That makes sense, though.
Like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
No. Is it bread there? I can't remember who I was with. I don't even remember.
Well, that person's no longer your friend.
Clearly. Anyway, so fuck. What was I going to say about this movie, you asshole?
Oh, yeah. Let's backtrack. So you were talking about...
I was talking about Jack Black.
Jack Black, how do you think he's really funny?
He's really funny. This movie is funny in general. I really laughed a lot.
Okay.
The cast was really good. I really, really liked Colin Hanks.
Yeah.
Colin Hanks was good.
Colin Hanks was...
I remember what I was talking about. The music. So,
yes.
So Colin Hanks wants to go to Stanford. But he doesn't get the acceptance letter that he was waiting for. So when he doesn't get the acceptance letter, immediately the music that comes on goes, "My day sucks," and shit like that. And it's like a popular like 90s song that just happens to start with these lyrics. And like every single fucking scene did this. And I'm like, man, I do not miss late 90s, early 2000s movie making for sex comedies. Because this happened. I remember like it was like.
Well, now we get Judd Apatow sex comedies.
That's true.
Which
are just sort of bland.
Yeah, they're just bland. I mean, now they're just bland.
Now they're bland. Back in like 40-Year-Old Virgin, Superbad was awesome.
Yeah, I'm waiting for this next wave.
Yeah, what's the next wave? What's the next wave of comedy, do you think?
What do you think the next wave of comedy is? That's impossible to tell.
That is impossible to tell.
Maybe,
you know what I think it's going to be?
What?
I think it's going to be annoying.
Well, that's all through. You can put that subgenre under every single like era of comedy? Of sex comedy or whatever.
Really?
I feel so.
What about like Amble like, House and shit?
No, I'm saying like there's annoying subsets that you never hear about.
I agree with that.
I think that the next thing is going to be extreme parody, but like kind of parody like Airplane type
Oh
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's what's I feel like it's absurdist.
I feel like it's going to be like absurdist, but almost more like
I mean, it might be a different type, but I think it's going to be some sort of absurdist.
I think it's going to be absurdist and very based on
we have absolutely where are you getting this information from?
I'm getting this from like television and stuff that I watch right now. Like okay. What's becoming the big thing. I think it's going to be very much like making fun of like the style of movies and what's the word I'm looking for? When something is making fun of itself.
Satire?
Not satire. It's like making fun of it. It's like a meta. Community. Meta. I think it's going to be very absurdist and very meta. I think that's going to be the new like form of film of like comedy. I think that's what it's going to be.
Okay.
I'm throwing my hand there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with the tattoo.
Just because like you have like Rick and Morty, that's very, mm-hmm. very much like that.
So what else about this movie?
I guess we should talk about the plot.
Yeah.
Why not? So we
it's
have-
Stanford.
It's Stanford.
Oh.
It opens pretty well, actually. It introduces a character beautifully. Honestly, like I thought this was a pretty smartly written and directed film. I think the editing was a little weird, and I think that the music that was used in it is clearly, you know,
dated.
But other than that, like I honestly enjoyed myself. Because I always set a timer for how long I need to watch the movie, and then the timer went off, and I was really disappointed because it was actually getting really interesting.
It's a good.
Yeah, honestly, like this will probably be the first one. Like, we're gonna finish this podcast. We're gonna watch a bit of The Wire. You're gonna leave, and then
you're gonna go back and watch this movie. I'm gonna literally all the other movies we watched are 100 times better.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, they are definitely better in quality, but I still enjoyed like watching this film. I really enjoyed it. So anyway, let's talk about the plot here before we get into our opinions of the film.
Okay.
Okay. So it starts out with Colin Hanks, who is Tom Hanks's son.
Man, you already gave your opinion of the film.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead then.
Nah, I'm going to wait till the end.
You're going to be the bigger man?
I just want to make you feel bad.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I feel bad.
I feel terrible. But you know, Colin Hanks is Tom Hanks' son, but not in this movie. And he was originally a stoner. He was a slacker. He was a surfer. All of those start with S's. And he was basically like an average Orange County kid. And then one day, one of his friends dies in a surfing accident.
Ah, that explains a lot.
And while he's mourning the loss of his friend, he finds a book in the sand. And the book is written by a professor who works at Stanford University.
Oh, that explains a lot.
And so the entire opening of the movie is him explaining this and writing a essay to the guy, the professor at Stanford, in order to be a student there.
An essay or like a short story?
I guess the novella.
Okay.
It's a novella. It actually says novella on it. And he goes to his counselor, who is played by the woman who voiced Miss Frizzle. I think her name is Lily Tomlin.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I can tell just because of how she sounded. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're a shoo-in. You're going to be great. And he's like, awesome. And so everything's going to go great. He's got a girlfriend. He's got his brother, who's played by
Jack Black.
He's got a mother.
What was a great sign of your coming up in life?
What?
Your brother's just Jack Black.
Dude, I would love my brother to be Jack Black.
I feel like he'd get old pretty quick.
Well, we all get old pretty quickly if you think about
Shut
it.
Shut up.
And his mom is played by Catherine O'Hara, the amazing actress Catherine O'Hara.
Yep.
She's really good, honestly. If you haven't seen her, she was the mom in Beetlejuice. She was Sally in Nightmare Before Christmas. She was also very well known for Best in Show. Really good comedic actress. And his stepfather, who is this old man. I don't know his name. He's an old man in a wheelchair. And his real dad, who's played by John Lithgow.
That was his stepfather? That guy's really old.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's his stepfather. And they mentioned this is because, I'll go into it later. And then you have John Lithgow, who's his real father, who is married to Leslie Mann, who is the wife of Judd Apatow. It's interesting that you bring up Judd Apatow.
Okay.
So he's waiting for his Stanford application or his Stanford like acceptance letter to come back home. And he gets the letter and it says that he's been rejected and he doesn't understand why. And he goes to his counselor to like be like, what the hell? You said that I was a shoo-in. And she goes, yeah, but I mean, let's look at your grade. Your grade is terrible. Your grade point average is shit. Your SATs are shit. And he's like, what are you talking about? My SATs are this. My grade point average is this. And he's looking and he goes, you sent the wrong transcript. You sent the transcript for some other asshole who has a really low grade point average.
What an idiot. How can you mess that up?
I don't know. comedy. So then he's like, I'm never going to get into Stanford. And then his girlfriend reveals this really weird thing where she's like, you know, you said that you were praying really hard to go to Stanford and you've been praying all summer long or whatever. So last night I prayed that you wouldn't go to Stanford and it worked. And he's like, why did you do that? And she's like, I don't know. What? And it's really never explained why she doesn't. But she's like, I'll help you out because she feels like she's responsible for it. So one of her friends' grandpa's is a administration person at Stanford. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, hey, help my boyfriend out. And the lady's like, fine. So then the grandpa from Stanford shows up at his house, but his household is a mess because his mom is always sleeping and drunk. And his brother is like Jack Black.
Ah, sorry, I can't accept you, kid. Your brother's Jack Black.
Yeah, he's like a stoner, basically.
You know, Jack Black's parents were like rocket scientists.
No shit, really?
Yeah, they're like super smart genius people who like work in like, I don't know if they work at NASA, but I know they work at basically not comedy.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's really funny.
I wonder how proud they are of their son.
I think they're still proud because he's very successful.
Well, yeah, but for a while there. He was like known as just the stoner guy.
That's true.
He wrote like music.
Yeah.
Do you like Tenacious D?
Yeah, they're funny.
They're funny,
but
right?
But I have a thing with like comedy music where it's like, that song was funny. Now it has no real value to it. It was like funny once.
Yeah.
So I don't know. People listen to them and like, oh, I like this song one. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. They sing to it and I'm like, it's funny once, but then it's it. And it's over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not funny again.
Do you not like Bo Burnham?
No.
You don't like Bo Burnham?
No.
Ethan, are you kidding me right now?
No.
You don't find Bo Burnham funny?
No, because he's just, all his thing is just singing songs.
Not all of it.
Most of it.
Some of it. Not all of it.
It's not funny to me.
Oh my God.
It's not Ethan. Insightful. It's just like, look, I made this song that rhymes.
No.
Cool, and it's funny.
No, most of his recent stuff is very insightful.
Okay.
Ethan.
I don't, like, it's funny once and that's it.
Now I don't care that you don't find Kung Power to the Fist funny, because clearly you have terrible taste.
Wow. Uh-huh. Okay, sure.
Just kidding.
I like more, you know, spiteful stuff that's just not actually funny, and it's just
mean.
Just mean.
What are you talking about?
No, I don't know. But you know, I like things that actually like make you think a little bit more, and not as, I feel like just most comedy that's singing and stuff is very,
I'll agree with most.
Superfluous? I can't say that word.
Superfluous?
Superfluous.
I'll agree with most, but a lot of Bo Burnham's recent stuff has definitely been very insightful. And like,
but you listen to it once, you're like, cool.
Yeah, I guess so.
But that's, I guess that's true. The same with like comedy. But I feel like music, you're supposed to listen to it over and over again. At least
that's,
I do.
Actually, that's the funny thing is like Bo Burnham like mentioned this. He's like, the problem about being a musical comedian is that people want to hear when they're listening to comedy, they want new bits. But when they're listening to music, they want all the old stuff. And so being a musical comedian, you have to juggle that.
Yeah.
He doesn't really give a solution. He just says that's an issue that he
has. That is an interesting issue. I could see that. That's the thing is why I also don't really care for musicals that much, is because I think honestly, you're taking too long to get to the joke.
Mm.
And the thing about musicals, you're taking too long to get to the plot.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's just singing and stuff. And it's like, I'm a little more lenient towards musicals because musicals, you can actually have like a legit, like awesome song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just happens to have the lyrics as like a plot or how a character's feeling or something.
Right. And they get emotion of the character.
And that's fine. But I'm still kind of like, like it has to be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
On the other hand, music, it's like, get to the jokes. Let's go, man.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. In some situations.
A joke. It's not funny enough. Yeah, I don't know. That's me.
Like, what's his name? What's his name?
Reggie Watts.
Stephen Lynch.
Oh, okay.
That's his name, right?
Sure.
Anyway. So, on to...
I think Reggie Watts is okay, though. Because
I like Reggie Watts.
I feel like he...
I like his music.
I feel like, he's more on the musician side than he is on actually, like, his just songs are just silly.
Well, they're absurd. That's what I like about them.
It's so, like, I feel like
but they sound awesome.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know... telling your jokes or music.
Anyway. Yeah. I think people expect too much of him as far as like a comedian goes. Like he's very funny, but he's more just like absurd funny than like, hey, so this what about the food on airplanes?
Yeah, exactly. I saw Tenacious D actually live. I forgot about that.
No shit, really?
Yeah. Was that,
are they good? I bet they were.
Yeah, they're fun.
I like Tenacious D.
They're fun. Did you see the movie?
The Pick of Destiny?
Yeah.
I have seen like parts.
Really? You haven't seen that movie all the
way? I haven't seen it all the way through.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not a great movie, but it's entertaining.
It's a stoner comedy.
It's a stoner comedy movie.
Yeah. Anyway, so speaking of Jack Black, so he's in this movie called Orange County. And so anyway, so the Stanford people come and they are just horrified by what he lives in. And he's, and the guy who's actually Frank Marshall, a director, a comedy director who's directed shit comedies mostly. But he's well known because he's like directed a lot of classic stuff. He's playing the old man who works at Stanford. And he's like, Stanford's for the best and the brightest. And you'll never get in as long as I'm alive. And Colin Hanks is really downtrodden by this.
Weird.
Okay. And then he's like, I'm going to go to Stanford myself and I'm going to talk to admissions and records and I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to drive up there. Jack Black's like, okay, I'll drive you there. And they drive there and it's like 10 at night and like no one's there. So then that was when my half of the movie ended. So I don't know what happened next.
Ah,
yeah.
Well, luckily I watched the second half.
Oh, that's good.
So what happens is,
Wait, can I guess?
There's no one there.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So I think he gets in. I think he gets into Stanford at the end. I think that I think he just gets into more crazy shit. I think at one point he explodes at everyone and goes, you guys are a bunch of assholes and you guys have done nothing but hold me back. And I hate all of you. And then at one point he has to realize that he needs to he stopped loving life. He stopped because the tagline for the film is, it's not just, I think it's like Orange County. It's not just a place. It's a state of mind. And so I think that's sort of what the lesson of the movie is like, you have to have an Orange County state of mind. You have to be a little more easygoing. And that's what he let go of when he wanted to be part of Stanford. And maybe the people at Stanford are a bit too like high strung and they need to be more like people in the OC or some shit. And then in the end he learns that, but he still goes to Stanford. Is that what happens?
No.
Oh.
You're close, but no.
Okay.
So what happens is they're at the admissions place. It's dark.
It's dark.
I believe Jack Black decides to just break in. He's like, I'm just going to get this admissions. They say, okay. And then the other crew, this is very jarring because I just got in this. I'm trying to figure out exactly what's going on.
Because you don't know anything.
No, I don't know anything. I don't even know what this movie's about. Yeah. So Colin Hanks decides to go to the person's house.
The administrator's house.
Yeah. How did he know to get there? How did he know?
No idea.
Okay. He just was like, I'm going to go there.
Because he when he was in there, there was a lady working at the office.
Oh, okay.
But he's like, can we get his phone number, his address? And she's like, no, you can't. And they don't. So I don't know how he knows where.
It is weird. I wonder how he found it. Anyway, he arrives and goes to them. And while Jack Black is also just trying to break in to just write his name on there because he's Jack Black.
Yeah.
So go help my brother out. So
does the brother know he's doing this?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he does. But he's like, whatever, I'm just going to leave. Mm-hmm. So he leaves and they go to the administrator's house.
Because that's a normal thing to do.
Yeah, and he knock it's like, late, like 10 p.m. And he's like, oh, I'm going on a trip soon. What do you want? It's like, I didn't get into Stanford, but my counselor sent in the wrong transcript. And he's like, ugh. Okay, bye. And he shuts the door on him. And then the girl's like, wait, let him in for just 5 minutes of your time. He's like, fine, 5 minutes.
Fine, girl.
Fine, whatever. You asked.
Yeah.
So they sit down. And obviously this professor is going through something, or this admission person.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, can I have, for some reason the girlfriend has a bunch of drugs with her, like Excedrin and things like that. And like pills.
I know that Jack Black had a ton of them. So maybe
maybe she just had it.
Yeah.
And she's looking through it and he's like, oh, can I have some of that? I need this for the headache.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Cause Jack Black earlier in the movie said, oh yeah, I mixed up all the drugs and all the different things. So what's in one is actually another thing. So.
Okay. So he's like, can I have some Excedrin? He's like, okay. She's like, okay.
God damn.
And then the kid comes back, gets his transcript. He's like, look at this transcript. And he's like, cool, that's a good transcript. You should get in. But too bad, it's too late past the deadline. Like, I literally can't do anything for you. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, I don't know. But then the ecstasy starts kicking in. He's like feeling himself. He's like, you feel so good. I feel so, it's so hot in here though. I really want water.
Can I ask
you to sit down?
Who plays this guy?
I don't know. I don't know the actor.
Okay.
Because
there's a lot of famous people in this movie.
Yeah.
Like Chevy Chase is in this movie.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. He plays one of the teachers. He is a very bit part, but he does a lot with it.
Yeah. There's a couple small parts. Yeah. So he goes in. What else did he do? So he's tripping on ecstasy and he's like, eventually Colin is like, hey, I'm going to convince you. Why don't you, before you leave on your trip, why don't you just put my name in the thing? He's like, okay, I like you. You're cool.
Aww.
And so they're driving and he's just tripping out and doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, during this time, Jack Black basically breaks in, does it really badly.
Yeah.
The lady from the front desk comes out. She's like, what's going on? And he's like, well, I don't know. Do you want to just have sex? And he just drops his clothes. He's like, I'm seducing you now. And then they're like, okay. So they have sex.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a weird movie.
Yeah, it is.
And then he burns the cigarette. He's lighting up a joint. Smokes some weed in there, man. You know? And then the lady's like, here's the admission papers. He's not on it. And he's like, oh, that sucks. He just burns it. He lights on fire.
Oh, come on. Trash can.
So then he's like, man, I'm hot as fuck, dude. Oh, no. I've lit the place on fire. And so as soon as Colin Hanks drives up, you see the place burning.
Oh,
burning
God.
Down the entire admissions building.
Oh, my God.
And the guy is just coming off his ecstasy trip. He's like, what's going on? And then eventually some crazy stuff happens where the cops come and then they're like, how does the fire start? And then Ben Stiller is a fireman and he's like, what did you do?
I'm Ben Stiller.
You actually didn't. Wasn't funny at all. He's just completely serious.
Well, I mean, he's always not funny. So.
Oh, you got it. He's not even trying. He's trying to be as serious as possible. So Jack Black basically runs away, gets out of that situation. Well, Colin's like, well, what do I do?
And he has to deal with it.
What do I do now? I'm sad. What do I do? So he starts walking around being sad. He finds this girl and she's reading some book. He's like, oh, that's a cool book. I wish I could go here. And she's like, you're not going here? That sucks. I'm going to go. Bye. And then she's like, you want to go to this party? He's like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'll go to this party. So it's his party. And then there's
his girlfriend?
His girlfriend is with him.
Oh, okay.
And no, she's not with him at the time. She just does something else.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember exactly what she did. And he's basically like at this party and he's like, wow, this is a cool party. This sure is neat. I'm going to talk to you about books because you're an English major and, you know, I wanted to go here.
Who's the girl?
Some just random girl.
You don't know her?
She looks familiar. Mm. I don't know. Sorry, I don't know any of these actresses.
It's fine.
Actors and actresses. I'm sorry, man. So I just don't recognize them.
It's fine.
I recognize John Lithgow, though.
That's good. John Lithgow is very recognizable.
Yeah, he is. He's very recognizable.
I love him.
So that's a party and he sees his girlfriend. He's out talking to this dude at the party.
Oh.
He's like, oh, what the heck? My girlfriend's here. So he starts to spy on him. But she's saying nice things. She's like, oh, yeah, my boyfriend, you know, he writes too. He's like, the guy's like, oh, comparative lit major. And then she's like, cool, I'm going to go to Orange County for school and be a meme biologist. And the guy's like, oh, cool. And then comedy. Colin Hanks falls off the balcony he was listening to them from. And then they're like, well, you were spying on me? She's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I was. Sorry.
Why didn't he just?
And then she's like, I'm mad.
Why didn't he lie?
He did. But then she was like, were you sure you weren't spying on me?
Just like, oh, I was leaning on this balcony.
That's what he tried. It didn't work.
Why? How does it not work?
I don't know.
Why is she angry that he was listening?
I don't know. Even though she was, I guess, just like a trust thing. Like, oh, you don't trust me enough, huh? Something like that.
It's not even a trust thing. It's just like, I'm curious what is being said over there.
Well, he wasn't like, obviously, he was on like a balcony above them.
Yeah.
So he was out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe.
Until he fell.
And then he was in sight. And then they got mad at him.
That's dumb.
It's kind of dumb. So she gets really mad at him.
Really
and he's
forced.
Like, she's like, let's go inside, huh? With this other guy. And then he's like,
let's go inside, huh?
Exactly. And then Colin's like, well, I guess I'm sad. So I'm going to walk. I don't get anything I want. And then he's walking. And then he finds the guy.
Surfboard.
No, he doesn't find a surfboard. He finds a guy. Uh-huh. I have to look up his name because I didn't actually pull up my notes before this podcast. I took notes and didn't use them yet.
I haven't taken notes at all, actually. Just because I watched the first half, so I figured it'd be pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I just needed the, like...
Into Mr. Skinner.
Yes. Yeah, he's the guy that wrote the book.
The book.
Yes.
Like Straight Jacket or something like that. I think that's
Straight Jacket. It seemed like a really, like, obviously fake, like, title for a book.
Really? I think that's a real book.
Is it a real book?
Look it up while I'm talking
all
about
right,
this.
All right, keep talking about it.
I'm pretty sure it's a real book. The guy's played by Kevin Kline.
I love Kevin Kline.
Yeah, it was cool. So he just talks to him and he's like, did you read my essay? He's like, yeah, it was pretty good.
It wasn't that good.
Oh, did he read it out loud?
Yeah, the entire opening is him reading his novella aloud.
Oh, wow.
Holy shit, it is. It is a real book.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't get the real guy to play him.
What the fuck? How is this a real book? By Marcus Skinner.
Yeah, Marcus Skinner.
The ground is lava.
He actually is an actual professor at Stanford.
No shit.
Yeah.
Why the fuck? What? How is this real? How is this a real book?
I don't know. don't know, man.
Did they write this book specifically for...
No, probably not. Like, you know, some people find things that just fit into certain roles as opposed to writing...
But it's such a small... Like, it is in the movie, but it's a rather small part of the film.
Nah, man. That's his whole inspiration, dude.
Wait a minute. Is this real? Wait. What book is Straightjacket by Marcus Skinner based upon...
Oh, so maybe it's not real.
I want to read it, but it doesn't seem to exist. There is a book called Straightjacket by a different author, but is there a book that it is based on? What are you talking about? But it says right here that there's Marcus Skinner wrote Straightjacket on goodreads.com. What is going on here? Ethan, I'm losing my goddamn cord.
Keep looking, man. Anyway, he talks to him, has a good time. They're like, oh, I couldn't get in. And he's like, oh, I'll see what I can do, I guess. Mm-hmm. No, actually, he says, you know what? Your book was about Orange County, and you think... All great writers like get to go to that place. All good writers are in the area. Like they stay there and they write, and it's who they are. Is they have a conflict with themselves, kind of,
right,
with the place they live. You know, just getting away. You've been working so hard on getting away. There's nothing wrong. You can be a writer anywhere, dude. You don't have to go to Stanford. You can just, if you love writing so much, you can just do it. And he eventually learns that like, you know what, maybe I don't need to go to Stanford. Maybe I'm cool in Orange County. Like, it's a good place. Like, I don't hate it. It's, you know, I can be here. And I have a weird relationship with that. And obviously you knew because you read my essay.
Right.
But I feel like I can be myself there now. Like, I feel, like, comfortable.
Hmm.
So he's like, okay. All right, cool. Thanks for the talk. So they leave. He leaves, and then he finds his brother. His brother's running from the cops. He's like, we gotta go, man.
In his underwear, probably, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He has no pants.
He's in his underwear most of the movie.
Yeah, why wouldn't you be?
Like, why not?
Why not? Especially if there's someone named Jack Black. You wear all the time.
So, okay, sorry. I just found it. It is not a real book.
It's not a real book.
There is a book called Straightjacket. What I think is going on here is that there is a band that has written a song called Straightjacket by Marcus Skinner. And the title of the band is The Ground is Lava. So, yeah. So there's a song called Straightjacket.
So is that Skinner guy an actual person?
I don't think so, no. Wow. Which is weird because like I feel very much lied to because they have like stuff here on like Amazon, like Straightjacket. I guess there's a book called Straightjacket. But yeah, like there's like goodreads.com has Straightjacket by Marcus Skinner on here.
I feel like I should be putting a straightjacket after finding out about Straightjacket.
I feel like an insane person right now.
So then they basically, they find it. This is weird. That's the weird thing is they never did anything with the plot where his girlfriend was mad at him.
Yeah.
Cause they just get in the car and they're like, all right, let's leave. We need to go now.
Do you think there was a deleted scene?
They're trying to leave. Maybe.
Is she in the car with them?
No, she's at the party. So they're going to pick her up at the party.
Oh, okay.
And he's yelling. He's like, get in the car right now. And she's like, I'm mad at you. And then she's like, back's like, just apologize and get over it. So eventually like apologizes and she's like, oh, okay. And then just gets in the car. Cool. Waste of time. It was kind of dumb.
It was dumb.
So, yeah, that happens. Then they make up. They have sex in the car while Jack Black's in there. He's asleep, but he's actually not because he looks at the camera and goes, yeah.
Wait, who's driving?
They just stopped. They just stopped.
Okay, I thought he was sleeping and driving.
No. They just parked somewhere and slept.
Okay.
Or slept.
Slept. Quote,
air quotes.
He's making air quotes, but he's also like swinging his hand up and down.
Yeah.
As if to like... Okay, now he's making a jack-off motion with it.
Yeah, there you go. See, okay. I made it a little more obvious for you.
Yeah, thank you.
There was sex involved. So they did that, and it was cool, man. And they all drive home.
Yeah.
And during this time, there's a subplot between the John Lithgow.
Yeah, and his wife.
And his ex-wife.
Wait, what?
There's a subplot that happened where basically he comes over and is like, I miss you, man.
Oh.
And then they have a beer and then they get together again and they have sex. And they're like, I made a mistake. Like, take me back.
Oh.
She's like, okay. And so now everything's better there.
What about the old man?
I don't know. That's the weird thing that weirds me out because he's just sitting there.
Yeah. What about him?
And he's like, hears about it and he has no reaction. He's just like, huh. I thought it was like a grandpa or something.
That's what I thought when they first met. Like when I first saw him, I'm like, oh, he's like their grandpa or something. Nah. No, she married him.
Weird.
In order. Cause here's what happened. There's a whole history behind this actually. Like she was married to John Lithgow. John Lithgow divorced her and then married this girl that he had met at the gym. And then she was living her and, what is it? Her and, Jack Black and Colin Hanks. We're living in a trailer home.
Okay.
And then she found the old guy and married him for his money.
Okay.
So
they, but she has lives in, it's implied that she lives in the same house they all did at one point.
What do you mean?
Like she's living in a house that John Lithgow and her also lived in because she got the house.
Oh, man. Weird.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't understand.
Anyway, so John Lithgow has sex and he leaves the place and then his wife drives up, his current wife, and she's like, what happened? And he was like, well, I'm not going to be frank. I had sex with my ex-wife. She's like, oh, okay, cool. And he's like, I think we should get divorced. She's like, okay, that's cool. And he's like, you can have the house. Oh, nice, cool. And then...
It's a nice house, too.
Yeah.
Like, I would have preferred that house over the other house that they were living in.
I don't know. You can have the house. And she's like, okay.
Wow.
What do we do about this kid that we had?
Yeah, that kid is a piece of shit.
Yeah, he is. He's like, I don't know. We could just share custody. Oh, okay. All right. That was fun. Bye. And then he just leaves.
Wow.
He goes to a club or something. And yeah, so that's kind of what happened. So now they're back together. It's cool. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale was there.
Don't know what that is.
That is a beer.
Okay.
I remember seeing that. I wrote it down because I was like, whoa, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Orange County.
Whoa, beer.
Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so they arrive back. The trio, the girlfriend, Jack Black and...
Colin Hanks.
I don't know why I can't remember his name. Like I remember every time I think about him, I have to remember his name because I just look at his face and I think that guy with the big eyebrows.
And the no chin. Yeah. If you want, his character name is Sean.
He looks like a Sean.
He does look like a Sean. Yeah.
Sean is actually better than Colin. So Sean and Fenn show up and they...
That's what the name of this movie should have
been.
He
comes in and he sees these two stoner guys with his friends and they're in a car. I assume they're someone. They just seem really dumb.
Yeah, yeah. They're stoner friends.
Okay, cool.
They're his old like surfboarding friends.
Yeah. Cool. They go into the place and they're like, oh, this is great. What a good time. Everyone's back together. This is weird. Including the old man who's still here. Yeah. And no one explains him away. So whatever.
I don't think he's all there anyway, mentally.
Nah, he's not there all there mentally. Yeah. So then John Lithgow's like, I've been on the phone all day. Me and your mom are getting back together. And I just donated a bunch of money to rebuild the Stanford admissions department.
Oh, shit.
And so now you're getting into Stanford because I bought your way into it.
And what did
Colin
Hanks
say? He's like, oh, awesome. And everyone's like, yeah. And then his girlfriend looks at him and goes, I'm really happy for you. Like the most like fake. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
His mom also didn't want him to go to Stanford either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His mom was like, don't leave me.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So he goes upstairs and closes the door and he's like, yeah, I got everything I wanted. This is great. But then he sees the surfboard. And I was like, wow, look at that surfboard. That's a cool surfboard. And he looks at it and he's like,
okay. Oh, this must have been so yeah, confusing so I was like, for
all
you.
Right, this guy really likes the surfboard. Is he going to hit the waves again? I don't know. So he leaves.
I'll miss the waves.
He leaves, goes back down, and goes, you know what? I don't want to go to Stanford. And every single person is overjoyed that he's not going to Stanford.
Except his dad.
His dad is overjoyed.
What?
Which is weird because I'm like, you just donated like a ton of money. He's like, oh, this is cool. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Weird.
So yeah, he's not going to Stanford.
So confusing.
Not really. It was only for a second he stared at it.
It's like when I was like watching Labor Day and like the guy like makes a pie for his mom and his mom like cries. And I'm just like, what's up with the pie? Like that must have been very much like, what's up
pretty
with
much,
the surfboard?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what is up with that? So yeah, that happens.
Uh-huh. So he accepts his fate of going to
staying in Orange County.
UOC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called New OC.
University of Orange County.
There's no such thing.
Well, that's where she's going.
There's no such thing in real life. This movie did not do its research.
About Orange County?
Not about Orange County.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess they got the people right.
They got the
stereotypes
down. Yeah.
But they did not get the land down. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so then that ends. Everyone's happy, and that's in the movie. Oh, no, he goes out, and he writes a letter back to Skinner, and was like, thanks for all your advice. I realize I'm okay here, blah, blah, blah. And then he buries the book again in the sand.
Oh, for someone else.
For someone else to find. And then his donor friends are trying to blow up the old surfboard with M80s. Like, this is the way he wanted to go. And then he goes, ha ha ha. And he grabs the surfboard and runs into the sunset back into the waves. He's like, I'm going surfing. All his donor friends like, we do same thing. And they grab the surfboards and they just follow him. And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. All right. So how'd you like it?
Didn't like it at all.
Not at all.
No, it wasn't that funny. It was okay. I feel like the thing is, though, is I just didn't have time to stay with the characters. But the thing about comedies, 90% of these sex comedy type things are way funnier in the beginning.
Mm. I'd say most, like 90% of comedies in general are funnier at the beginning. Yeah.
The middle, it's like, oh yeah, we have this plot. Sorry.
And then by the end, they're like, we have to wrap this plot up.
Yeah,
in a way
we
that's
have to
like,
make you guys feel and feel happy.
But it's like bullshit. Like no one watches a comedy for, I mean, I don't watch a comedy, especially like goofy screwball comedies. Yeah. You don't watch a comedy so that the characters wind up happy
in the
end.
That's why I like My Python Holy Grail.
Mm. Or even Airplane.
Because it just straight up ends.
Yeah.
There's no like real plot.
Because nobody cares.
No, I don't care.
No, because it's a dumb comedy.
But I guess they're going more for the heart feels with those songs and stuff like that. So they actually want you to care about this character, which is, I feel like that brought down the comedy level. So to me, I was just like, and I felt like I didn't miss anything. Like I didn't put together, like he's just burying a book in the sand. And it still is like, oh, okay, that's cool. Maybe someone else will find it. That's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's, you know, I feel like, surfing
You put
past,
the pieces together.
I put the pieces together. I didn't understand what was cool about the board until someone, they're like, we're blowing up his board.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, whose board?
his dead friend's board. Yeah.
But that movie just didn't, the jokes to me weren't that funny. Jack Black was probably the funniest part.
He was very funny.
And just the absurdistness. I like John Lithgow's weird performance.
It wasn't very weird in my half of the film.
Really? I mean, it just felt like the way he was saying his lines was just odd.
Well, that's just John Lithgow.
You might be right.
Did he end up being a
serial killer?
Serial killer?
Nah.
Oh, man. He didn't kill a lady in a bathtub?
No. That's a shame. Spoilers.
What? That's like the beginning, isn't it? It's like the
beginning of season, like the end of season three.
No, that's the beginning of season three.
Whatever. It's still season three. It's still spoilers.
Whatever. That's like the introduction of John Lithgow, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Is that really spoiler?
I don't know. Did you watch that show?
I hated that show.
Really?
I hated it. Huh. First season was fine.
I liked the first and fourth season.
I liked John Lithgow's season, and I liked the first season, okay. And then every other season was garbage.
That's accurate. That's the great, what I agreed with, too.
Yeah.
I thought two and three were tolerable.
You know what pissed me off the most is they kept saying like, oh, you know, and I'm
talking about Dexter, by the way.
Sherlock has the same problem where they're like, he's supposed to be a person with no emotion. That's the whole thing is Dexter has no emotion. Sherlock has no emotion. And they're always showing scenes where they're emotional. Dexter clearly has emotion because he cares about like that baby at one point. And like, you know, he clearly doesn't, he's clearly not a sociopath. Sociopath's the one that has no emotion. Isn't that right? Is there a psychopath and sociopath?
I don't know the difference.
Okay, whatever. Whichever one of them, they're always like, oh, I'm a sociopath. No, you're not. You clearly care about people and you clearly have emotion. You're an idiot.
But you have emotions differently than other people. Most people are like, if I go out and kill someone randomly, me personally, I would feel super bad because
it's
about that person. Yeah.
Oh, are you supposed to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, but you're right. You're right. But sociopaths are supposed to have no emotion about anything. They fake emotion.
All right. Here's the thing about any sort of mental states is there's no black and white.
Yeah.
It's always like a gray area.
But that's like how you characterize a sociopath.
No. It's that they just have a lack of motion. I feel like a sociopath is when you have a lack of emotions towards things that you should have emotions towards.
Mm.
So
is this based on any kind of,
I'm pretty sure this is how it works. Cause it's not like I just straight up don't feel anything. It's like, no, you probably feel something. It's just not.
No, that's what I've heard. Or that's what I've read at like a sociopath.
I feel like you just don't feel most things, you know, cause like, oh, I don't feel bad about killing anyone.
Yeah.
And obviously he does because he only kills bad people.
Then there you go. But so what is keeping him from being just a normal person?
He has the urge to kill.
But that doesn't make him a sociopath then.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But that's what I'm saying. Then why characterize him as a sociopath if he isn't?
Why is he? They don't think it ever does.
They don't. They always bring up that he's a sociopath. He's always saying that.
Maybe he's just like, I don't feel much.
That's what he's saying. He's like, I don't feel anything. I can get away with it. I'm a sociopath. Bullshit. You clearly are not a sociopath. You idiot. I hate it. I hate that fucking show. I hate it. I hate it so much. Oh, I hate it so much. And it pisses me off because I feel like it's just wasting everyone's talent. I feel like most of the people in that show were like really good actors.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the name?
Michael C. Hall.
Michael C. Hall. Michael Patrick King. Yeah. Michael C. Hall is a really good actor. Deb wasn't that good of an actress.
She's okay.
She's fine. Honestly, this is totally off subject, obviously, but like, I feel like her performance was so like forced. Like every time she cursed, I felt like it's like watching a 5-year-old.
I think there was actually an interview with her where she's like, I don't curse this much normally.
It's pretty fun. Pretty much freaking obvious that you don't curse normally. But yeah. So you didn't like the Orange County?
It was just okay. It was honestly okay. when we came in to record this, I thought, and I was like, man, did I watch the movie? And I just watched it. I just forgot about it like immediately.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not going to remember this movie at all.
I'll finish it. And then I'm going to do exactly the same thing you're talking about.
See, it's weird that you want to finish this. You just want to see how
it ends. Like, that's what's going to happen. I'm just going to wind up finishing this movie. I might as well. I might as well finish it at this point.
This is the first movie we've ever
finished. It's so short.
It is very short. It's only like an hour and like 20 minutes.
Like, it was literally like, I literally just sat down for like 44 minutes.
Yeah. It's a very short movie.
Super short. And
watching an hour TV.
Yeah. And the thing that was the most upsetting about it was how annoying some of the characters were, because they were very true representations or character representations of very annoying people.
Huh.
Which makes me angry that his lesson was you should stay in the OC. I don't think that should have been the lesson.
I think but that's maybe your own thing, because maybe. I feel like the lesson is like, yes, these people are annoying, but they're also your family.
Yeah.
So deal with it.
Well, love your family. They can be your family and you can love them and you can still just move away and not have to deal with their annoyances.
Hmm.
You know?
Who does that? Like, who moves away from their family?
I don't move away from my family. My family moves away from me.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But no.
I stay here. I'm the one who never leaves. I'm doing my job.
That's a good point. But I did, I guess I moved away from Bakersfield, which has very, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of people in this movie. Like, I'm aware of the stoner people, and I'm aware of these types of, like, archetypes of humans that usually are raised in like California. Like, one bit I really liked in the movie was both Colin Hanks's household and John Lithgow's household have Spanish Mexican maids.
Yeah.
Both of them have Mexican maids.
Yeah.
Every household seems to have this Mexican maid. And it's like, it's an over the top representation of like living in, but it isn't.
It's not.
That's what I'm saying. It's accurate. It is accurate. That's the funny thing, is that people who don't live in California are like, oh, that's really funny. Like, having a maid in your household and everyone seems to have them. That's really funny, but it's true. You know what I mean?
Is that actually supposed to be funny, or is that just supposed to be accurate?
I think it's supposed to be funny. Like, it's played for laughs, I feel.
That's
like,
weird.
I think, at
least. Kind of a dumb thing to be humorous about.
I think it's rather humorous. When I saw it, I laughed. Like, oh, they have another, they also have like a Mexican nanny.
All right. I saw it and I was like, cool. It's like, they're rich.
Yeah, I guess
why
so.
Would they clean their own stuff?
okay, here's a good question. Do you...
Also, that's not a man, that's a nanny, that's a housekeeper.
Housekeeper, sorry.
Well, unless that was taken care of a kid. Anyway, continue.
Did you like Colin Hanks?
Eh.
Yeah.
He was okay. Like, I could relate to him, but I was also just kind of like, eh.
He's a straight man, and it's hard to
really not like him, but he's also just kind of boring.
Yeah, I agree with that. See, the problem for me was I never believed that he was actually like a stoner surfer dude.
No, I honestly had no idea he was like that.
Yeah. When you saw him in the opening, I'm like, oh, he's lying. Like, when you see him like surfing and hanging out at bonfires and like smoking pot, I'm like, oh, he's lying about all this in order to get into Stanford. Like, he's right. He's making all this up, you know, like, that's what I thought he was writing this novella because it was fictional. And then he was going to send it to Stanford. And then they'd be like, wow, this guy really turned his life around. He should be in Stanford. But then
he actually did.
But
supposedly
he did supposedly. But he was like that. Like, that's the weird thing, is later on, he's like, that was before the opening credits, was he was showing like what he was like before and introducing like his friend dying and all this stuff. And then the opening credits started, and I'm like, then they cut back to him and his hair is all like primmed and he's wearing like, you know, a polo shirt. And I'm like, oh, we're actually going to see he was always a nerd and he was never like this. But then the same people keep showing up and they keep referencing like the history. And I'm like, oh, he was like,
weird. That's funny that you actually didn't believe that.
I didn't. And it's because I think they casted Colin Hanks.
Yeah.
I think if they had casted someone.
Does Colin Hanks do anything now?
Yeah. He was in Fargo.
Oh yeah.
He was really good in Fargo.
He was really good in Fargo.
Yeah. I feel like that's all he's done. He was in another TV show that lasted like two episodes, which was made by Matt Nix, the guy who made Burn Notice. It's called The Good Guys, I believe it was called. It was on USA. And I think that's pretty much it. He was also in the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
Sorry.
Very bit part.
Sorry. What? Sorry about that.
I know. Well, don't apologize to me. Apologize to him.
Sorry.
Sorry, Colin Hanks.
Sorry, Colin Hanks.
You've really turned your life around from being in a dumb teen sex comedy. Which, by the way, I don't even know if this should qualify as a teen sex comedy, because there was like all of three sex scenes in the film.
Oh, wow. That's actually a lot.
I guess four.
That's a lot then.
Is it that a lot?
I feel like it doesn't. Yeah, I guess it's not
really centered around the idea.
It's really not. Well, it's rated PG-13, isn't it?
Is it PG-13?
I feel like it is. I don't think there are any real bad words in it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was PG-13. There was some drug like content in it.
You can have that though. Just like,
I guess so. That's true.
Not like they're glorifying it. They're just kind of like,
that's a good point.
You're lame if you do this. You could be a loser, or you can go to Stanford,
or you don't go to Stanford.
Or you don't go to Stanford even if you stop that stuff, because who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in the end, I wanted him to go to Stanford. Did you want him to go to Stanford, or did you just not care?
I didn't care,
man. I actually really kind of related to him. Not related, but I wanted to see him succeed in the end, and I was sad that he didn't.
He didn't.
I know, and I'm sad now.
He could have.
He could have.
He didn't. He grew enough that he didn't need to.
He grew, whatever. I'm just like there was just times where I'm like, I would fucking hate to live in a house like this. Like, I would hate to live with these people and like have to deal with them every day. And then like when his like girlfriend's like, oh, you should just go to like, you know, where I'm going and like stay here. I'm just like, why?
To
like,
save money.
Yeah, I guess.
Boom, got it.
But his dad's rich. He doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, but do you think his dad's going to give him all his money? Be like, here you go.
No, I guess so.
Don't ever make anything of yourself.
But yeah, that's the thing is like he's like the writer's like, you could just like write anywhere. That's true. But I could also learn from one of my favorite writers, like as a professor going to Stanford, you know, or I can stay here and go to some shitty community college and learn writing from some remedial asshole who's never written anything of note, you know? So that's not really an option. You know what I mean? I feel like the ending is bullshit to say, oh, you could be a writer anywhere.
You can.
You can, but you don't learn how to be a good writer anywhere. You can learn to be a good writer from actual good writing professors, not go to some shitty community college and learn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's a lot of great writers. I feel like that's dumb because there's a lot of people I know and respect in journalism who's never gone to journalism school.
That's a good point.
You don't have to. Like, it is an option and no one's like...
But if you have the option, you shouldn't give it up just because what? Because you saw a surfboard?
Family, man. It's family.
I don't know. I think that's bullshit. I think it's a bullshit ending.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that. Sorry you think that way.
It's okay, Ethan. I don't blame you.
That's okay.
You shouldn't hold yourself responsible for this movie.
I should.
Did you find this movie particularly quotable? Because here's the story behind us even watching this movie. We were hanging out, like me and Ethan and a bunch of our friends were hanging out, and everyone was quoting this film. This movie, Orange County, and neither me or Ethan had heard about this film. I thought it was a lie when I heard about this movie. I thought everyone was making it up.
I've heard of this film.
I realized when I looked at the poster, I had heard of this film, but like the title of it is so bland, I guess, that I just thought it was like a made up movie that people were talking about. And so, but everyone seemed to be quoting it. I don't know why I
like this movie that much.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine. I feel like if I had seen it as a teenager, I probably would find it funny still, like out of like nostalgia.
Maybe like when it came out.
Yeah. Like if I was in high school going to college, I might've been
That's
able
how
to relate
I feel
relate
with
to
a
this.
Lot of movies like Encino Man and stuff like that. Like I feel like if we saw that when it came out, we're like part of the zeitgeist.
That's true. Funnier. That's a good point.
As opposed to just being okay. So,
that's
all I got to say about this movie. You got anything else?
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done with this.
The movie's
one.
Okay.
It was all right.
It's fine.
It was kind of disappointing now that you mentioned the ending, to be honest.
Good job, bro. That's why you're
I probably won't go back and rewatch this.
Yeah, you better watch it.
Yeah. Beforehand, I was really invested, but now I probably
won't.
Sorry,
man. You just got to take all your stocks out of it.
Yeah.
Got
to take all my socks out of it.
Socks. Do it.
Yeah.
But if you do like it, you should go to our website at theotherhalfpodcast.com and see other movies that Mike and I have not actually finished watching.
Yes.
Also, you can go to our Twitter and follow us there or Facebook and like us on there.
Please
do
that.
Or you can go to our iTunes and subscribe to us on there.
Or leave a comment like this one individual did.
Exactly. Leave a comment, which is actually called a review, Mike. You leave comments on Facebook.
Oh, shit. I'm
we
sorry.
We won't read those. We get those.
Oh,
we don't,
do we?
We don't care about
those. Do we
get
comments on Facebook?
Yeah, a couple. They're mostly just, watch this movie.
Making fun of people who are doing exactly what we've asked them to do.
Man. Maybe you guys should say something more insightful.
Hold yourself up to a better standard.
Tell us why I watched this movie, exactly.
Yeah.
So we got a review.
From a good friend of ours. A total stranger.
Whose name is Ricks.
Rick.
And they put a little emoji of a meat. And their title is, It's So Greasy. So greasy. He spelled it out. He says, all I need in my life is nugs, chillin', grindage, and the other half. That's a pretty good review.
High review.
It's a 5-star review.
From who? What was their name again?
Hunk of Meat Ricks.
Hunk of Meat Ricks.
Emoji.
Well, thank you, Hunk of Meat Emoji Ricks. I hope you enjoy our podcast.
Yeah.
Some other people need to leave some comments.
Yeah,
like,
man, put it on there. It's like, good.
There's this guy I know, Ricardo. He's suggested a couple of things. He should leave a review, I think.
He should do that. She like this Meet Ricks guy.
Meet Ricks guy. He's pretty cool, I guess, too. Yeah. I think Meet Ricks is actually our biggest fan.
Probably.
Yeah. There's some people who say they're our biggest fan, but clearly Meet Ricks is the first one to leave a review.
He's the best.
Review, not a comment.
Yes, iTunes. There you go. Okay. You got it.
Awesome.
All right. Well, yeah. I think that's it, man. I think that's it. I think this is finally it.
Oh, and I guess we should also mention next month is October.
Yeah.
Which is a very spooky month.
Tomorrow will be October when I put this up.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So, and I love Halloween and I love horror movies. So for what is it? How many weeks are there in October? Four, I believe. We're going to be watching four horror movies.
And guess who doesn't like horror movies at all and
Ethan
hates watching them, especially alone?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So
it's going to be awesome.
I'm going to have to probably invest in some therapy for November.
Well,
so
Ethan, I'll be here for you. You can talk about your experience.
You're the worst therapy. You would just laugh at me and be like, this scene was really messed up and it really brought up some childhood trauma that I experienced. And you're going to be like, man, this scene was crazy. Dude, it's hilarious.
Yeah, Ethan was like, he's like, oh, you should just write down a bunch of horror movies you haven't seen so we have like a good list of movies to like choose from.
Yeah, there's no point in me because I've barely seen any horror movies.
And so I put down Cannibal Holocaust and Ethan's like, no, we're not going to watch that
movie.
We're not going to watch that movie.
I don't want to. I heard a story of someone who watched it and their wife just got to one scene and just physically threw up.
That's why I want to see it.
And they watch horror movies too.
Oh God, I want to see this movie so bad now. So stay tuned next week for our Halloween spooktacular October month spooky movie time.
We gotta actually come
up with a title. But anyway,
spooktacular.
Yeah. So good night, everybody. Let me tell you some stories before we start this podcast off. So I was leaving my apartment to go somewhere. I can't remember. And there was this fucking little brat sitting on a tricycle. And so there's like a sidewalk going to where the parking lot is that, you know, where I park. And he's sitting in the middle of this fucking sidewalk on his tricycle and not even moving. He's not even moving. And he's just looking at me with his stupid fucking eyes, like making eye contact with me. Like, what? What are you going to do? I'm in the way now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yep, you're in the way. Like, yeah, I like look at him and I just like walk around him. This little piece of shit stood in the middle of his goddamn sidewalk. Move! You're on a goddamn tricycle, you asshole.